We are back here on the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner, all with you. We'll go hot stove in our next segment and pour one out for Wade Davis. He's no longer a Kansas City Royal. More on one of the success stories of the K-State football season at 5:10 and around college football at 5:25. We're going to hit some college football and college hoops right now with Kellis Robinette from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star, K-State beat writer, who joins us every week. Appreciate the time, as always, Kellis. We're just going through this list of all the awards that have come down from the Big 12 coaches. K-State has four major awards on there: Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Lineman of the Year, Defensive Newcomer, and Defensive Freshman of the Year, and then six first-team All-Big 12 selections as well, right behind Oklahoma, who had seven. All the honors that have come in here, did it surprise you just how decorated K-State wound up being?
Maybe a little bit, just on the tail end of the awards. I figured Jordan Willis was probably a strong candidate for Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I know that's who I voted for in the AP version of the award. Figured him, Dalton Reisner, DJ Reed, Elijah Lee. I figured those guys would certainly find somewhere on there. But, yeah, I guess it just shows to the success they had this season. They didn't get much preseason love in the polls, but then they finished fourth and get some postseason love in the awards. So I think it's pretty deserving that they got the players that they did. If I was surprised anywhere, I thought maybe they'd have a little bit more linemen make the list given how well they blocked. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's very well deserved for those guys.
And Terrell Johnson was an interesting omission from the coach's version of things. Talking with Kellis Robinette here, this is just us, but to me the combination of the way the season finished, 8-4, basically their best win and most dominant win in Big 12 play to finish things up against TCU, combined with all the love we're seeing for a lot of these players, many of whom are young guys that are going to be back, and this was the youngest team that Bill Snyder basically has ever had in terms of guys that were playing. It just seemed like the season was filled with a lot of drama and a lot of frustration, and then here at the end, I almost feel silly for how much we focused on those things during the season. I mean, do you get a similar type of sense here now that we sit at the end of the regular season?
I'd agree with that to a degree. I guess you could pull the Bill Snyder line and say that's not inaccurate. I mean, yeah, there were definitely some times in there where fans are sitting there saying, why aren't we playing Alex Barnes more? Why are all these teams going for all these yards against this defense? You could say it was maybe one of the rockier good seasons you'll ever see, just that through nine games there was quite a bit of complaining amongst the fan base that they could have been doing better, but the winning streak they ended the season on, winning 5 of 6, really changed things. And I think, honestly, the biggest example of what you're talking about is with the offensive coordinator, Dana Dimmel. I mean, there are still people who out there who think he can't do any right in their eyes. Just no matter what he plays, they think they're, or no matter what calls he makes, they think they're wrong. And when you look at it over the last six games of the regular season, they averaged 291 rushing yards. Just were decimating teams on the ground with a quarterback who proved throughout the season he couldn't throw long. So it's an offense that found a way to establish an identity and move the ball while being pretty much one-sided, which is what everybody was asking for last year, and then there's still some people complaining about it. So I guess that just goes to show that that's the way things go in college football. But, yeah, good 8-4 season with, like you said, some drama along the way.
Kellis, coming into fall camp, I mean, even us in the media, no one had really heard of DJ Reed or didn't really have any expectations of what he may accomplish, and this is something we're talking about a little bit today, but with him being your defensive newcomer of the year and being a JUCO guy that has 3 years to play, just being a sophomore this year, how much credit does the K-State coaching staff deserve for going out and finding this guy that could actually hold things down opposite Duke Shelley?
I would say a lot. I mean, that's a very good point you make. I remember last summer people asking me who was going to start opposite Duke Shelley, and I thought for sure it was going to be Cedric Dozier, the transfer from Cal, and it turns out that he was, you know, very, very much overshadowed by DJ Reed. I mean, he came in with the exception of West Virginia and maybe Oklahoma State, just played lights out in most ball games, came up with interceptions and was a very deserving newcomer there. So I think the biggest thing that the coaches get credit for is that they found him after 1 year of junior college ball. I mean, he's just a sophomore. They still got 2 more years with him. So this is a guy that will be with Duke Shelley as the two main cornerbacks on the team for the next 2 years. And, I mean, boy, by the time those two are seniors, you got to figure it's going to be hard for receivers to get open against those two.
Talking with Kellis Robinette, who covers K-State for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star. As far as the bowl game goes, Texas Bowl against Texas A&M, doesn't it seem like on a lot of different fronts it's about as good of a matchup and a good of a situation that K-State could have hoped for in a bowl game?
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl when they played Michigan. You get a brand-name team that everybody respects and had some good wins this year, but enters the bowl game on a downward trend, and that's the exact opposite of Kansas State, which finished the season on a big upward trend. I was honestly a tad bit surprised A&M was a three-point favorite in the game. I thought it'd be a toss-up or maybe even Kansas State favored by a smidge, but the game is in Houston. A&M will have the fan base, and they do have better athletes on paper, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised that they're favored. But, yeah, good matchup for them. If they go in and play well, I would certainly give them a chance to win their first bowl game since 2013.
Kellis, what did you think of that basketball game last night?
It was pretty boring, not going to lie. It was pretty dull, but the flashes we did see were encouraging. As frustrating as it was, I'm sure, for the entire team to watch Prairie View A&M, one of the worst teams in the country, take a first-half lead on them. It was encouraging that as soon as that team took the lead, Kansas State comes back and scores on, I think it was 18 of the next 20 possessions, and blows them out of the water the rest of the way. So I guess it just goes to show you that the schedule, it's hard to get these guys motivated week in and week out for some of these names, and when they realized they had to play, they turned it up and did it.
Well, I know you wrote this week about the depth of this team, and it's one thing that I've voiced my concerns with, really. I mean, I like a lot what you've seen from 1 through 5, 1 through 6, perhaps, with this team, but beyond that, I think is where the real concerns are. How do you weigh, you know, the benefits of what they're getting from the frontline guys right now and some of the questions and concerns with just how deep the bench goes?
Yeah, I think that's going to be their big question heading into Big 12 play, and I think you hit that nail on the head with your hammer there a few weeks ago when you pointed that out. This is a team that the starting five, I would say, could compete with most teams in the Big 12. Xavier Sneed is probably as good as any sixth man coming off the bench, and I would say Corby Irvin, even though he's not the flashiest player around, knows his role and wants to do it, and that makes him a very valuable reserve player. So Kansas State's top seven rotation, you don't really have too many complaints with them right now, and you got to think that that's a promising group you can take into the clutch important games this season. But then, yeah, when you get beyond that, I mean, who's your next guy? Dante Williams, we haven't seen much of him. Isaiah Maurice, haven't seen much of him. Austin Budke played last year, but he really hasn't played much this year. So where are those other guys going to come from? You know, maybe we make a little bit too big of a deal out of that because under perfect situations, you're probably not going to go too much deeper than seven guys anyway. But, I mean, Weber's pointed out if they get in foul trouble, somebody gets hurt, which has happened over the last couple of years, they're going to need somebody else from that bench at least ready and able to step up and contribute 10 minutes a game. And so far, that's got to be a concern.
Before I let you go, Kellis, did you have any urge to get a chicken sandwich today after our little media foray that we had last night?
It's all I could think about all day. I'm not going to lie to you. I had forgotten that restaurant existed, but now, yeah, I think we need to set up a media outing there, and I'll order some chicken sandwiches.
Why is this a thing? I cannot believe this is still being talked about today.
Yeah, and our listeners have no idea what's going on. I just had to throw in that inside joke there.
I can't wait for the topic during the Gardner Webb game. That to me is the most fascinating part of the rest of the non-conference basketball.
I am looking forward to that. We're going to have to figure something out. Kellis, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's Kellis Robinette from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star. I'll explain.
Oh, okay.
Should I explain?
Sure, yeah.
I'll explain on the other side. Plus, we've got a teary, sad hot stove to get you coming up here on the game.